For those of you just joining, this will be the last Wednesday we do our teaching and online communion. After a year, we'll be going back in our building for our regular Wednesday evening services next Wednesday. So the format will change, but we'll still be getting together and around the Word.
We will.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Mickey and I, in our daily devotionals this week, have been looking at post-resurrection truths and just dipping into the Scripture some of the exciting and powerful things that happened right after the resurrection. And we were this morning in John 20 when Jesus first appeared to his disciples who were gathered. At least 10 of them were gathered, and Thomas wasn't there. And we'll go to the meeting that Thomas attended tomorrow morning at 10:30. But tonight we're going to jump over into John 21, and tonight we're going to talk about I go a-fishing, and it's the occasion where Peter goes back to fishing after the resurrection, and this will be the third occasion. So this is about 2 weeks out, or at least a week to 2 weeks out from the resurrection. It will be the third time that Jesus appears to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. But what we're going to look at tonight is just Peter. And, you know, he had denied the Lord three times. And let's read the scripture, then we'll go from there.
John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we're going with you also. They went out immediately and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish.
Yeah, a lot happening here. And it's interesting. This is the third time, right? It's the third time he's meeting his disciples. The first time in the upper room, we studied that this morning, in the upper room, excuse me, the first time they were gathered together, yes, in John 20, Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. He breathes on them the Holy Spirit, and he breathes on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we see there a commissioning. The last thing he will do before he ascends is remind them of the commission. But it's interesting, after he's told them, you know, I'm sending you. He had done that in his earthly ministry. Remember, there were times he would send them into different villages. At one time, he sent 70 different disciples into the villages, and they all came back rejoicing at the authority they had been able to operate in. But here, after the resurrection, they now have seen Jesus on two previous occasions. They know he's alive and well after the resurrection in his glorified body. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. And usually when we talk about that, it's like Peter's going back to what he used to do. But then here's a whole crew of them that go with him. And there's different things going on here. Sometimes we see this taught that Peter's going, he feels so guilty having denied the Lord that only thing he knows to do is to go back to doing what he was doing before he met Jesus. I think there could be some of that there, because on this occasion, we won't take the time to read all the scriptures. But in this very scripture, as you continue reading from where you read, Jesus restores Peter. Mm-hmm. You know, Peter, you love me more than these. You know, feed my sheep. Do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs, and so forth. And so that was like a time of restoration for Peter, because Peter's in the boat. They catch this load of fish, and the verses following what you read, John tells him, Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter had taken his outer garment off when they were fishing. And as soon as he found out it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on. He jumped in the sea. swam for shore. I mean, to go see Jesus. So that indicates he still wants to be with Jesus. He wants to go to Jesus. He still loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. But doubtless he also struggled with the fact that he had denied the Lord. We know that he had, you know, on the occasion he did, he wept bitterly. He felt like he had disappointed the Lord. He had failed the Lord. He had denied the Lord. He had bragged just a couple of hours earlier, if I need to, I'll die for you. You don't have to worry about old Pete running out on you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be there when it counts. And Peter, Jesus said, yeah, you said you'd die for my sake, Peter, but I tell you, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. So failure can do a lot of things to a person.
Yes, and this it's good, though, to see Peter's heart that he's going right back after Jesus. Mm. And because his heart, you know, he loved Jesus. He was a disciple of the Lord. But those circumstances and those hard moments, they caused him to be afraid, to deny, and I'm sure he'd felt lots of guilt and
yes,
and shame about that.
And if we're not careful, we can look down our self-righteous noses and think, well, I can't believe that Peter would do such a thing, when in fact, we don't really know what we might do in a situation. You know, it was
a lot of pressure.
The air was thick with fear, and there was talk of crucifixion and being arrested and so forth. And I think God does give grace in those situations. But maybe one thing that set Peter up was the fact that he said this couldn't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul in his writing says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So Peter is an example for us of maybe being a little bit too proud, too big for his pants. You know, you don't have to worry about it. I'm, you know, he even pulled his knife out, whacked off Malchus's ear. You know, he's going to defend Jesus. And you know what? I'm sure when he said it, he meant it with every fiber of his being. Mm-hmm. He never dreamed that he would deny the Lord. But, you know, when the pressure came down, and can you imagine in those moments from Jesus' arrest to his crucifixion, the activity in the spirit realm of Satan and the demonic, and yet God was doing something right in the middle of it that spun the tables on the enemy. He didn't know it, or else he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But Peter, you know, when we... most of us have had some type of failures in our life. I know I've certainly gone through that. And the tendency is, well, what am I going to do? To go back to what you know that you've done before. And for him, he was a fisherman. When Jesus met him and found him, he was a fisherman. And you know what? Even though things came down the way they did, he still needed to eat. He still mm-hmm. needed to make a living. Jesus was a leader, and you know, the one who kept the bag, he went out and hung himself. And what was it going to look like for 3 years? That was his life, day in, day out. Provisions came in different ways. And
yes, yeah, so I think not only failure, but just the change. Mm-hmm. Because as you just said, everything had changed about the dynamics of the group of the 12 who were walking with Jesus, and Jesus is gone and they don't know what they're going to do. What is going to happen? Yeah. And what does their ministry mean now? What is it going to look like? So I think there was a lot going on there.
Another thing I see in this is the fact that, you know, obviously Peter did have leadership on him.
He did.
Because he denied the Lord. All these guys, you know, by this time knew that he had denied the Lord. But when he said, I'm going fishing, they all said, well, we're going with you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he had leadership on him. So going back to what you said about the change, I imagine all of them were, you know, it was, and of course, I believe the Holy Spirit's at work here too. Remember, Jesus had already breathed on these guys and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit's working too, keeping them together. You know, the devil works hard when there's failure, when there's crisis, to try to separate everybody. Mm-hmm. Strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Well, they struck the shepherd. Jesus has been crucified. But you see them, they're hanging together. That's not the right terminology. I mean, Judas, I didn't mean together.
They're hanging out together.
Yeah, they're hanging out together. Judas is the only one that went and hung himself.
They still have a relationship, which is,
And they're working, fishing all night. It's not like, well, let's just take a day off and go down the river and fish. That's kind of what people do now. It's more of a recreational thing. But then it was a day's work. Mm-hmm. It was the means of their livelihood, you know. And so we're told in the scripture they went fishing and they toiled all night and caught nothing. And of course, this preaches right here. When Jesus says, "Let down your nets on the other side of the boat," at one word from the Lord, in the middle of all their combined efforts could avail nothing, but one word from the Lord loaded the boat. And that's an encouraging word. And that word came to a man who had denied the Lord and a bunch of others that got chicken spine on the night Jesus was arrested and ran. He's blessing them. He floats the boat. And so, you know, they're thinking, we've got to go back and catch some fish. This is our livelihood. Well, Jesus, you're talking about money coming into the ministry for these guys. Mm-hmm. 153 fish. So many they could, you know, they needed help getting all the fish in. And so there's a lot of things going on. And the economic blessing, just a blessing of knowing I just got blessed. That, mm-hmm. you know, the Lord's favoring you. The Lord's watching over you. And then for Peter, it goes on from there when Jesus restores him. And it's just it's an amazing thing in itself that 50 days after Peter denied the Lord, he is chosen by the Lord to preach the inaugural message on the first day of church. That shows God's heart of restoration. And we do well to remember that when someone we know and love fails. And maybe a child has failed, or your spouse has failed, or someone at the church has fallen into something. We need to become intercessors and not accusers. We need to try to help people get on their feet, not to knock them down. And it's just so important because we see Jesus' heart in the middle of this, of restoring Peter. And it's a beautiful passage.
It is. There's so much in there. We can really take that apart. I love that Jesus said children.
Yes, little children.
Do you not have any food?
Yeah, he mentored them. He was the friend that was closer than a brother. He was their Lord, but he introduced them to the Father. And he did a lot of fathering in himself, too. Mm-hmm. And he does that for you, dear friend. You know, no matter what you may be going through, maybe you feel like those guys in the boat and you've done all you know to do and it's been a night season and it's like you've been able to get no breakthrough. You don't see any breakthrough. You've caught no fish. Your prayers aren't being answered. You're not gaining ground. And I just encourage you to know that the Lord will speak to you. Stay in the Word. Get that Word from the Lord. Keep your ears open. Keep your heart open and hear what the Lord might speak to you. It can turn things around for you. And Jesus, this goes along with what we talked about this morning, how he just was able to come into a room where all the doors were shut in mm-hmm. his post-resurrection body. Well, here, it looks like he's in the restaurant business because he's cooking fish, and he's got a meal for them on the shore.
Once again, it said they didn't know it was Jesus to start with.
Yeah, and when they got up there, none of them said anything because they all knew who it was. I mean, it's another one of those whoa moments. But can you? I mean, this is the Lord of Glory that's just suffered on a cross and suffered through death, hell, and the grave, and now he's risen. And right before he was crucified, he washed their feet, and here he is now cooking them a meal and ministering to them in that way. And he says, "Bring some of those fish you caught." And so I guess it was party time on the riverbank, and they cooked some more fish and ate, and then Jesus began to minister to Peter. And if you read on, Jesus also tells Peter of how he'll die in the future. And because Peter got nosy, he wanted to know about John, he basically tells him, well, that's none of your business, you know. What's it to you if he doesn't, you know. So there's still just so much interaction, so much intimate relationship. You have restoration, you have love, you have, it's like, you know, family at the table eating there on the riverbank, and there's a celebration. They've just had this massive haul of fish. Here's a resurrected Lord. This is the third time now that they've seen him after he's arisen from the dead. Wow. It's just a wow moment.
I think that, you know, the catch of fish also left, you know, was a message to them. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
I still have power. I'm still working, and we still have work to do.
Yeah, and there's a word in that, because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. There may be someone tonight, and you're thinking, well, you know, I really felt God had told me this, and this door was open. He was going to use me, but I messed up, so I guess it's over. Just read this. Read this. See Jesus' heart. A word can come and turn everything around. And this also another thing. Is in the middle of crisis when a lot of things going on, you know, the emotional level is intense and high, the questions abound, the sense of uncertainty is still surrounding them, but they were depending on one another, they were together, and that's a word too for you if you're hurting, is, you know, stay close to your family, stay close to your friends, have some people in your life that you... that you build relationship with. We need That's one right. another. We are yeah, stronger absolutely. Together.
Yep.
Amen. Well,
keep your eyes out for Jesus.
Yeah. Yes.
He's going to appear.
He might show up in unexpected ways in your life, just like he did on the seashore for these guys. And when he does, don't be afraid to leave the boat and go after him.
That's right. It's going to stretch you and it's going to bless you, just like it did the disciples.
Amen. Well, it's time to have communion together. If you have your bread and your cup there available, we will have communion. And again, thank you so much for spending this time with us this evening. Would you take the bread? Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life. You satisfy our deepest hunger. Thank you for how you broke bread on the night before you were crucified with these disciples. And you established the new covenant. You said, this bread is my body. Lord, thank you for your body given on the cross for us.
Yes.
Thank you for your sacrificial death. Thank you for your sinless life and your atoning death. You've reconciled us to the Father. And thank you, Lord, that we know that your body that died on the cross has been brought forth from the tomb and resurrection power. And you're coming back one day. And we just thank you for that. Now, eat this bread with me to honor and worship our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Would you take the cup? Lord Jesus, as we hold this cup, we say thank you for shedding your blood for us, for shedding your blood so that our sins could be forgiven. Lord, we honor your blood. We declare that your blood has power to cleanse and heal and deliver. Lord, we are so humble that you would give your life for us. Lord, when we, your word tells us, when we were yet sinners, when we had done nothing good for you, complete in our sins, Lord, you gave yourself for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cleansing power of your blood. And we take this cup in remembrance of you. And take the cup.
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just bless him. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. So good.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Well, amen. Hello, Ricky and Kayla. God bless you. Enjoy. Thank you all for joining us too. I hope you enjoyed this tonight about Jesus appearing to these disciples and filling their boat up with fish and providing a meal for them and restoring Peter and just renewing their hope. And we pray that he touches your life, that you be refreshed tonight, that you be blessed. And we pray for God encounters in your life. May his fruit adorn your life and may his gifts flow through your life. And may you experience the kingdom in Jesus' name.
And hello there to David and to Lena. We might have missed a few people, but thanks for being on. And we'll be back here in the morning at 10:30 a.m.
Yes. And we're going to go to that meeting where Thomas showed up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Deb, good to see you. He is so good.
Yes, he is. Yes, amen. Well, we love you all. Blessings.